Hello, this is Mark Shanton, welcoming you to a discussion of the debut production of Hollywood film actor turned theatrical director Kevin Spacey's new venture in charge of the programming of the Old Vic, one-time home of the National Theatre. Other attempts since to install an artistic regime and turn it into a producing house, from seasons programmed by Jonathan Miller to Peter Hall, have eventually floundered, but as a commercial theatre it has mostly operated as a loss, since it's too far from the traditional heart of the West End. So will Spacey and his producer David Lindemann, the former ITV head of programmes, succeed where others have failed? Future attractions include the Panto Dame debut of Sir Ian McKellen in Aladdin, and Spacey himself starring in the Philadelphia Story, as well as returning to an American play, National Anthems, that he previously did back home in the 80s and has wanted to do again ever since. But they've launched proceedings with the British premiere of a new play, Cloaca, that Lindemann found in Holland and Kevin Spacey is now directing. Neil Pearson, Hugh Bonneville, Stephen Tompkinson and Adrian Lucas star as a group of 40-something friends looking back in disillusionment at the compromises and failures their lives have variously become over the 20-plus years that they have now known each other. With me to reflect on the 2.5 hours that we got to know the play are Matt Wolfe of Variety, Alex Sirks of The Tribune and Sam Marlowe of The Times. Cloaca is Latin for sewer. Is that where the play belongs, Matt?
Well, you know, it's one of these titles where you almost don't want to enter into that as a critic because it just seems too easy. Having said that, I think there's a lot of waste in this play and production. But, you know, having said that, I also don't think that this means Kevin Spacey's regime is entirely jinxed. There seems to be a lot of talk that, oh, well, this wasn't very good, therefore he should jettison the whole idea and they should get somebody else. You know, Richard Eyre at the National had a very rough time for over a year before his regime finally bore fruit. I think this is a not very good production of a not very good play, but that's not the end of the world.
Absolutely. Did you think this was at least bold, Alex, to begin with a new play?
Well, I mean, they do have a real problem, I think, at the Old Vic. It is a huge stage. It's a very tall proscenium. And the theatre's a big barn. So you do need a big play with big performances. Otherwise, what you get is a real stinker. So I've watched countless plays, especially new plays, that have failed there and been unable to command the theatre. And the good news about Cloaca is that it is a big play, the performances are big, and it does actually fill the space.
There are quite a few people have drawn similarities with art. It also originated on the continent. It's also by a woman. It's again about male friendship. It even revolves around a piece of art. How did it compare for you, Sam?
Well, my main problem with it really was just that I found it incredibly flat. In a way that art wasn't. I really thought that you did engage with these men and their friendships and their relationships in the Yasmina Reza play in a way that you just didn't hear. I didn't care about them. I didn't believe in them. I thought the jokes were very flat. I thought the whole setup was very difficult for me to become engaged with on any level, really. And that was, in a way, quite a strange thing about it for me, because, as Alex says, it was big, but at the same time it was just this sort of two-dimensional event, and I found that incredibly dull to watch, and it felt really long to me.
I was going to say, art at least was a whole lot shorter, wasn't it?
Also, art has the strength of using the title and the blank canvas that the play sort of revolves around as a metaphor, because it's almost as if the friendship between the various men has to be wiped clean and then they build on it from scratch.
Yes.
That doesn't apply at all to Cloaca. With Cloaca, the cloaca, the sewer, is the metaphor for the detritus of their lives, we're told rather pompously in the program. And so the canvases from that point of view are almost a red herring. Also, and this is actually, I think, a problem of Kevin Spacey's direction, which I think is very flat indeed, there is no sense of friendship or history or any past between these men at all. I didn't believe it for a second, and I didn't believe that as actors they were engaged with each other. I thought they were engaged primarily with the house, with us.
Yeah. It's in fact Kevin Spacey's first play as a director, which kind of begs the question why anybody would imagine that he could actually rise to that job. I mean, it's quite a big feat to do, isn't it, take on a new play first time out in a big theatre?
Yeah, although I absolutely take his point, and I can understand this entirely, that he would not want to come on with a big ta-da moment, as he has said, running the Old Vic, and this is sort of a semi-ta-da, you know,
yeah.
To direct as opposed to star, but he's directed several films. The second one hasn't come out yet, and I hope his instincts there are better.
Yeah. What about the performances, though? How do we find the men?
I mean, I enjoyed the performances, I must say, and they got a lot of laughs in the sort of first half, I thought. I think the problem really with this play isn't the performances or the direction, actually. It is actually the script. For a play that is about the crisis of masculinity, to be told that all these guys are self-obsessed, hopelessly screwed up or thoroughly insensitive is really no news at all. You know, I was sitting there thinking, oh, I've heard this somewhere before. Mm-hmm. And it's not helped by the fact that Maria Goose has actually only got one trick as a dramatist, based on the idea that men never listen to each other. She constantly has these scenes where two of the characters are there. One is offloading their emotional whatever, detritus, and the other one is thinking about their own problems. And the first time that happens, it's very humorous. But when it happens again, the next scene, you think, uh-uh. And then it happens yet again, and one more time. Mm-hmm. And by that time, you're thinking, get me out of here.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the wonderful role for a woman.
Woman, exactly.
Thank you.
Isn't that rewarding, really? Coming on and doing a striptease and then doing a bit of comedy Russian and then having literally one line that most of us could understand. I found that really just astonishing. And why any actress would want to do it, I can't imagine. And as a writer, I just thought it was sloppy in the extreme, and it really, really annoyed me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so glad you said that, Sam, because I was shocked at that scene. It seemed so cheesy. And the fact that a woman wrote this.
Exactly.
You know, it was this image, first of all, of woman objectified in the extreme, and then she's funny because she's a foreigner, ha-ha. And then she delivers a line in English at the expense of manhood, ha-ha. And then she disappears because she's fulfilled her function.
Yes.
I mean, it's so brazen.
Another of our colleagues, Georgina Brown, pointed out that, of course, no straight man would really talk about particularly their penises in the way that the characters in this play do. I know that gay men do all the time, but perhaps straight men wouldn't. How do we feel about that, Alex? Would you talk about that?
I think you're just going to the wrong parties, Mark.
What about you, Matt? Did you find that convincing?
Oh, that's me. I mean, talk about penises. Where's this conversation heading? What was the question?
It was to do with the fact that men don't talk about that sort of thing.
I remember when Art came out, actually, one of the very interesting debates about it was Yasmina Reyes's view of what men talk about accurate.
Yes.
And there was this ongoing thing, oh, British men would never talk about this with each other. French men might, and American men might, mm-hmm. British men wouldn't. I don't know, that's a different topic. With this, though, I have to say that none of it sounded authentic. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that they wouldn't have these discussions. I'm sure people do and would. I just didn't believe these people would in that context, in that place, at that time.
It's interesting that, like, in art, they spoke about, I mean, Franks, and they're all English-accented, but the currency they spoke in was Franks. Here, the only sign that this was Dutch was that they spoke about guilders. And in fact, that of course also dates the play a bit because it's now Euros.
Yes. But it's also, I mean, it's so sort of forced. There's a conversation near the end where one of them says to the other, do you think cloaca means anything? And the other character says no. And you just think, oh, come on. You know, it's straining for sort of affect and meaning.
Yes.
Oh, it's quite embarrassing, actually, from the point of view of the writing, because Martin, one of the characters at one point, I think he's the theatre director, and he says, to be honest, about his own play, the play within the play, I sat there thinking, what's this play actually about?
Yeah.
And, you know, you put out a line out like that.
And you hear all the critics scribbling.
And you hear, you know, people thinking, oh, well, what's your play about then, you know?
Yeah. And yet, I've spoken to members of the public who've gone and have actually quite liked it. So is this a dysfunction between what we think and what the world thinks?
I don't know. It's so hard to gauge. I mean, there has been a buzz about this. It is a very attractive cast, and it's a sort of audience-friendly cast.
Yeah.
Their pictures on the program and all over the tubes look very welcoming. So to that extent, you know, yes.
And Spacey himself is in all the pictures as well. He's actually got a picture front of house as well. And above the canopy, it's the author's name and his name. So it is very much selling him, isn't it, as well?
Mm. Mm.
I just think your expectation is, and your attitude to any production is so different if you've shelled out for a ticket and you're looking forward to it and you have something invested in enjoying it.
Literally, yes.
Absolutely. So, you know, you're going to more than meet it halfway, especially if you've spent a lot of money. And obviously it's not our job to be that generous. You know, we have to be more cooler about our approach to it.
And
so.
Also, perhaps the kind of show that appeals to a theatre critic, a nice challenging drama, actually, in a huge barn like that, would, you know, a really original, fantastic, thumping piece of new writing go down well? I don't think so. This is the kind of show for a traditional audience, somebody who goes expecting to see a sofa centre stage. I mean, how traditional is that? It's a nice middle-class, middle-aged, middle-of-the-road show. And if that's what you want after a hard day's work, I would really recommend it.
Although the problem is that a lot of it is warmed over television, and you think, well, if you're going to pay 40 quid for warmed over television, why not just stay home and warm by the television for free?
And that's £40 for the ticket, never mind £5 for the programme. In a programme that's kind of indicative, possibly, of Sally Green's regime at the Old Vic, it's published by Condé Nast, and this must be a first.
Yeah, the weird thing about the programme, just practically, and this was a real nuisance for me when I was writing my review because we always have to put the credits in, was it's extremely hard to find them. And I kept thumbing through trying to find the actual cast list.
And yeah. It's hidden on a fold-out, which I didn't find until after the play.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, nevertheless, the fact is that the public are being urged to come to, and they're encouraging young people, for example, there are hundreds of seats available, apparently, at £12, and then they have to shell out £5 for a programme. That's
Well, at least if you don't like the play, you've got something to read.
True. Matt, you said we shouldn't be too worried yet about the future of the company.
Well, you know, a lot of people were saying in the press, well, why didn't he begin with Macbeth or something by Ibsen or O'Neill, of course, having done The Iceman Cometh at the Old Vic in 1998, but that would have been a so much more obvious choice, and I think it was very brave to pick a new play. Nothing wrong with that, I just wish he hadn't picked this new play.
Exactly. Alex, any final comments?
Simply that it was a bit of a drain on my patience. Not so much the big chill as a cold fish.
I think it was a laudable choice. Well, it didn't turn out to be, but it was laudably bold of him to have picked a play from the Netherlands and a new piece of writing. And I personally would have found that prospect quite exciting. It's a shame that it's not the piece of writing that we all hoped.
Thank you, Matt, Alex, and Sam.